Welcome to the Laws of Material Wealth Personal Development Program. I'm your host, James Renford Powell, and author of The Laws of Material Wealth and the Renford Books. And if you have been listening to any of the shows, you realize that we're talking about the laws of material wealth, but we're really talking about 13 universal principles. And we have covered them not only in the book, the workbook, 4 DVDs, but also in the support material that is sent to you by email. That's 54 weeks of support material and then 54 shows covering that material. So this is an extremely comprehensive program of study. And for those of you who have done so, I do have your testimonies. And for those of you who do not, you can go in and listen to any of these shows by going to Blog Talk Radio, BlogTalkRadio, blogtalkradio.com/Renford, R-E-N-F-O-R-D. If you would like, I can send you a CD that you can listen to in your car, which introduces each one of the 13 universal principles. And basically what we're saying is what we've taken in this course is a series where you can see what Ralph Waldo Emerson said about each one of those 13 laws, what Napoleon Hill said about it, what Charles Fillmore said, James Allen, many well-known writers and teachers have talked about it. And in fact, we spent 2 weeks just on what Jesus said about each one of the 13 principles. And tonight, it may sound a little bit like a sermon, but my Renford Revelations, you know, for the last 2 weeks I've been doing what I call the Renford Revelations. It ends up in the blog on the iam-cor.org/blog. You can see this. These Renford Revelations will also be going into each of the Lightways, E-Zine, the electronic magazine, and then I'm covering them on this show as well. And I don't want you to feel like I'm preaching to you, but I do want to, this does have some very, it comes directly from information given to us by Jesus himself as to his purpose for being here. You know, most of the time when you listen to ministers talk about Jesus and Christianity, it's almost like he's dead man walking. You know, all he did, he came to die for the sins of the world, and that's that. But in fact, Jesus was very specific about what he came for, and I think you will find that he's still talking about these same 13 principles that we've covered so thoroughly in the Laws of Material Wealth Personal Development Program. And I'll read that article blog to you. It's called Proof Positive. And I'll read that to you in just a moment. I want to first let you know that my guest today is Reba Manfree, M-A-N-F-R-E. It shows up on the site as Mabry, M-A-B-R-Y, but her name is Reba Manfree, and she is like an old-time circuit rider. She travels all over and services and ministers to different congregations. As she's been a minister for 21 years, and she conducts women's retreats and conferences. She's an author, a speaker, and a teacher, and she simply goes where she is invited and feel they need her. And so we'll be talking to her about her life's work. And I think you'll find that very interesting. And we'll get back to Reba immediately after the reading of the Renford Revelation. And I'll do that now. This is called Proof Positive, all right? And what I'm saying here is that the most important thing we can possibly do in this life is to consciously identify and verify these universal laws in our life experiences. And, of course, if you've been listening to the shows or reading the book or workbook. The workbook has 5 exercises per chapter to specifically help you in the process of identifying and verifying these laws. And so still we're talking about this, and I'm going back in and explaining to you why I think these principles are so important for us today. And they haven't got any less important from the time that we started this program, and they should loom as even more important to you as you begin to identify and verify them from your own life experiences. Why from your own life experiences? Because when you know something, it's different than hoping or believing or thinking that it may be true. This is something that you know. You've been there and done that. And this process is a process of coming to know as opposed of just accepting what somebody says, all right? Even me, you shouldn't accept even what I say alone, but go as the scripture says, study to show yourself approved under God. See if these things that are said be so. And this is a really important part of and is the primary purpose of the Laws of Material Wealth Personal Development Program. And this is the way the reading goes. Jesus' own words speak of a mission having to do with the revelation of secrets that had lain hidden from the foundation of the earth. In Matthew 13:35, the writer says, "All these things Jesus spoke to the crowds in parables. He spoke to them only in parables to fulfill what had been said through the prophet. I will open my mouth in parables. I will announce what is lain hidden from the foundation of the earth." All right. Jesus was later to say, "I give praise to you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, for although you've hidden these things from the wise and the learned, you've revealed them to the childlike." In Matthew 11:25, "With each parable he delivered an explanation of the laws in the simplest way possible. How they were received depending on the mindset of the listener. Those who received his teachings with the innocence of a child gained understanding." And basically what he said was, in Matthew 13:35, "I have come to reveal the secrets that have lain hidden from the foundation of the earth." This is his stated mission. In the same verse, he says, and it says, "He spake to them in parables, and without parables spake he not." All right. The disciples approached him and said, "Why do you speak to them in parables?" And he said to them in reply, "Because knowledge of the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven has been granted to you, but to them it was not granted." All right. For the benefits of his disciples, he had been revealing to them the mysteries that had lain hidden from the foundation of the earth, but he had to speak to the people on a level they could relate to. The Apostle Paul later, much later, refers to these mysteries that Jesus revealed in his letter to the Romans. "Now to him who can strengthen you according to my gospel and the proclamation of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mysteries kept secret for long ages." All right, this is Romans 16:25-26. So there's constant reference to the mysteries that have lain hidden from the foundation of the earth. Jesus also says, "Do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I've come not to abolish, but to fulfill. Amen, I say to you, until heaven and earth pass away, and the smallest letter of the smallest part of a letter will pass from the law until all things have taken place." This is Matthew 5:17-20. What does it mean when it is necessary to fulfill something? It means to complete something that is incomplete. The completion was in his revelation of the universal laws in his parables. Most of the time we take these parables like Sunday school pablum. I mean, they're so simple. They were written for an agrarian audience. And we kind of let them roll over us and out without much thought as to the deeper meaning here. And in each one of them you have this explanation and illustration of a universal principle. Jesus was saying that the law would not pass away until all was fulfilled. We know that this refers to the completion of his mission. All would be fulfilled at the end of his mission, and they would be free from this law. They would be free to experience the universal laws that give freedom, that have been and would always be in effect. The law and the prophets lasted until John, but from then on the kingdom of God is proclaimed, and everyone who enters does so with violence. It is easier for heaven and earth to pass away than for the smallest part of a letter of the law to become invalid. This is coming from Luke 16:16. 16, 16. This is a declaration that there is no shortcut with reference to the universal laws and that struggle is involved. We must each identify and verify these principles in our own life experiences. No one can do it for us. There's no shortcut. In John 8:32, he said, "You will know the truth, and the truth will make you free." Free from what? Free from fear. And the understanding and the identification and verification of the laws is the only thing that frees us from this fear. With his apostles looking on, Jesus made a startling revelation in prayer. He said, "I glorified you on earth by accomplishing," this is past tense, "accomplishing the work that you gave me to do. Now glorify me, Father, with you, with the glory that I had with you before the world began." John 17:4. All right. It is not that he says he was with the Father before the world began that is so revealing. That only confirms the law of absolute unity. He is saying that he has already accomplished his mission and is asking for recognition of this fact. These words were spoken before his arrest and trial, before his crucifixion, before the time spent on earth, after the resurrection as reported in the gospel. This work, our mission, was the revelation and explanation of the universal laws that he had spoken in parables. This sounds like the revelation of the universal laws was the most important part of the mission because he is asking for recognition of its completion. All the masters taught by simple stories, but their teachings were greatly expanded by those who came after them. It took the writings of the Apostle Paul and a few of the Christian centers producing letters and books attributed to various apostles over 200 years after Jesus to produce a body of writing that would come to be considered the Word of God. Even the determination as to which books would be accepted into the church canon was a battle that is yet to be settled universally. The battle was severe for control of those who call themselves Christians. The Gnostics, the Manichaeans, and various Orthodox groups battled for 1,500 years, long after the Orthodox, with the help of the Emperor Constantine, gained official recognition. The real battle was between those who maintained that Jesus taught a means of having personal knowledge of God and those who maintained that faith is what had saving power. They taught that the individual member could get what they needed from the priest and that only a literal interpretation of Scripture was valid. Believers must accept that Jesus is the Son of God and that the purpose of him coming to earth was to sacrifice his life for the sins of the world. In this book, we're looking, or in these articles, we're looking at what the master said about the universal laws. Every time Jesus is recorded as saying anything, he was explaining or illustrating one or a combination of 13 universal principles. Each parable was an attempt to communicate to his listeners these invariant principles. That he did so succinctly is not surprising. None of these quotes have anything to do with doctrine or dogma. That was and is the preview of church leaders, theologians, and politicians who came later. Church doctrine tells us that Jesus' mission was to die for the sins of the world, but the scriptures in Jesus' own words speak of a mission having to do with the revelation of secrets that had lain hidden from the foundation of the earth, and he said this mission had been completed. How could Jesus best benefit the people? Jesus says, "I came that they may have life and have it more abundantly," John 10:10. He spent a lot of time telling simple stories that reveal knowledge that even now we do not fully fathom. What secret could be so important that the mission of Jesus was to reveal it? The book of Proverbs may give some indication as it describes what is most valuable in the world. "Happy the man who finds wisdom, the man who gains understanding. For her profit is better than profit in silver and better than gold in her revenue. She is more precious than corals, and none of your choice possessions can compare with her. Long life is her right hand, in her left are riches and honor. Her ways are pleasant ways, and all her paths are peace. She is a tree of life to those who grasp her, and he is happy who holds her fast. The Lord by wisdom founded the earth, established the heavens by understanding. By his knowledge the depths break open and the clouds drop down dew. My son, let not these slip out of your sight. Keep advice and counsel in view. So will they be life in your soul and an adornment for your neck. Then you may securely go your way. Your foot will never stumble. When you lie down, you need not be afraid. When you rest, your sleep will be sweet. Honor is the possession of wise men, but fools inherit shame. Who could ask for more? This is the promise of coming into harmony with the universal laws. And that's my Renford Revelations for this show, The Laws of Material Wealth Personal Development Program. Now, I'd like to get very quickly to my guest, Reba Manfrey. Sorry, Reba, we had your name recorded wrong, but we've got it right, and thank you very much for being with me on the Laws of Material Wealth Personal Development Program.
Well, I thank you, and I thank God for giving me this honor. It's always a privilege to teach or talk or bring truth about God to his people, and all Jesus wants tonight is, he said he just wanted to sit down with us, those who are going to call in and those who are listening, and you and me, and he said, I just want to talk with my people. I enjoy talking to my people. So I want everybody to feel comfortable and take their liberties tonight in the Lord.
Well, before we get started with some of your background and how you came to, should I say, a traveling minister?
I guess that was good. That's good.
Those of you who've been listening to the show may have heard the interview with an organization called Trina Health, and I thought it was so important to have them on because of the equipment that's been created and is being used now that's bringing enormous amount of relief to diabetics and people with physical ailments that otherwise are not being met. And since you, Reba, have had the opportunity to utilize the Trina Health equipment, tell our listeners a little bit about it, because this is something that I really feel like that everybody ought to know about.
Well, I'm excited to do it and thrilled. The Lord told me that beginning in 2015, he said the world don't really know that I'm God or there's a God, the world. And he said, but when I get through showing them through my people what I can do, they'll know. Well, I just know he's showing people through Trina's clinic. I started in August, and the short background you've already given about it, the man Ford, he worked on it for 25 or 26 years in California, but only got the FDA to okay it, which they did, and insurance pays it. But let me give you my testimony about it. I've been a diabetic for about 40 years, and I'm on 12 shots a day and 2 pills a day. And so all that I'm going to share with you is proven. I mean, I can get it in writing from the clinics and the doctors. I had neuropathy of the stomach, which most people have it in their feet, and I stayed nauseated 7 days a week. I have had no nausea since my third treatment, not one bit. I itched severely every day for 7 or 8 years that I would have to scratch the top of my feet and my legs with a fork. It itched so deep. I've had no itching. My breathing was a little shallow. I would try to take deep breaths. My breathing is tremendous. But I'm going to share two huge things. I guess for 4 or 5 years, I've been having trouble with my kidneys, and go to an awesome kidney specialist here. And I don't know what this means, but my protein's been 450, and he's been trying to get it down. He told me to fast meat 4 days a week, which I did not obey and do. I asked God to forgive me for that, for being rebellious there. But anyway, I went back for my kidney. I go every three to four months, and I went back after going to Trina since August, and my protein is 104, and it came down over 300 and something. Well, the doctor's just amazed. Well, it's these treatments. Well, I've had 5 angioplasties, 2 stents or 3 stents, a balloon, 5 bypass, open heart surgery, and 2 carotid arteries. So I have a lot of plaque in my body. Well, I had a test in the first of 2014, and they were 70% blocked. And again, so the doctor said, you know, by December or January, they'll be 90%. You'll need carotid artery surgery again. And I went and had my carotid arteries checked, and it's below 50% blocked. So the treatment has, not is, but has taken the excess plaque, is taking more excess plaque out of my system. And I'm just having an aha moment with God about it, because I'm so thrilled. The man that invented this gives God all the credit and is a Christian and says God gave him all the creative ideas about it and the intelligence for it. And I just want to encourage any diabetic, you do have to be diagnosed a diabetic to go to this clinic and the insurance pay it. There's one on in Germantown, and then they're opening one in Birmingham, and then there's one in Foley, Alabama. And from what I understand, they're opening one in Fairhope, Alabama. I don't know where else in the United States. But
a lot of the people in Memphis were driving to Dallas and driving to Charlotte, North Carolina for treatments until they got this clinic open.
Yeah. Well, it's staying pretty full.
I do know that.
You go once a week for several months, and then you can drop down to every other week, and then eventually you drop down to once every 3 months. It's not harmful, and the FDA has proven there's no side effects from it, because all you do for 4 hours is they give you a drip. They put that needle in your arm, and they drip just little burst of insulin in your body for 4 hours. But what that does is makes your body think you have a pancreas, so it starts doing things. When my sugar got up to 270 and 280, I used to have to take 70 and 80 units of Novolog, and now I only have to take 30. It still gets high when I eat wrong, but I only have to take 30 units of insulin. So, and it's cut my appetite in half. I can't even eat a whole sandwich anymore. I eat a half, and I'm just full. And so I'm thrilled about that, because I do need to lose weight. So I just know it's a God thing. I know that it works, and it's just a godsend for diabetes. But it does a lot more than diabetes, as you can see, taking the plaque out. And he said it puts life in your cells. And just have them call that Trina Clinic.
For those of you who'd like to know a little bit more about it, you can go to youtube.com, type in Renford Broadcast Network, R-E-N-F-O-R-D, Broadcast Network. You'll find that there's an interview there of the founder and the one who developed the Trina Health, the equipment, which, as Reba mentioned, it mimics the communication between the pancreas and the liver, I think, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Yes,
and,
it does.
People, especially with type 2 diabetes, have found tremendous benefit from it. But like Reba says, also people with kidney problems and other problems have noted the benefit as well. So I wanted to let you have that little bit of testimony on the front end, since we've covered.
I appreciate that.
We've had him on the Renford Revelations TV show that was aired on 31, and also on YouTube on the Renford Broadcast Network. So you can go check that out. And if there's anything else that you want to mention about that, then we can come back to that as well.
I think that's about everything, except it does work. It is real. It is by God. And I just encourage any diabetic to call, since insurance covers it. It just does so much more than just help diabetes. That's what's so marvelous about it.
Yeah, Yeah, that's an amazing thing. The manager of the clinic here in on Germantown Parkway is Frank Holman, and you can get his number if you want to. You can email me. I am Renford, IamRenford at gmail.com, and I'll provide your contact number there. That's located on the east side of Germantown Parkway, fairly close to where Walnut Bend Road comes in to it's south of the Agri Center going on toward
that's
Germantown
what I was
Road.
Yeah, say the Agri Center. Yeah, you go down to that. It's hardware store, and you take a left, and it leads you back around to the building. It's down from the butcher shop.
You'll see. It's a red sign. You can see it from the road, and you can go in and pick up information. You can probably go, I don't have the website handy, but I imagine it's TrinaHealth.com, isn't it?
You know, I apologize for not having all that. I had the phone number written down, and it's out in my truck. I had everything, and I just can't believe I didn't bring it in. But later on when I give them my number to call me for if they want a speaker or something, I can give them information on that Trina Clinic because I do have phone numbers I can give them.
Cool. We'll get to that now.
Yeah.
Reba, you've been a minister for 21 years.
Correct.
And this is a full-time ministry. You drive all over the place, the state of Iowa, Illinois.
Moline, Illinois. State of Iowa and Moline, Illinois. Alabama, Birmingham, and I don't know why I haven't, since God moved me to Tennessee, been doing anything in Tennessee, but I'm hoping God will open doors. When my husband passed away, I moved up here. But I fly. I don't ask a tremendous fee like a lot of speakers do. I don't think that's scriptural. Freely God gave, freely we should give. I just ask for my expenses to be paid and let me take up a love offering. That's all I ask.
Now, you're ordained by the
Advocate Ministries in Birmingham, Alabama.
Birmingham.
Bill French is an apostle there, and they say he's one of the greatest. He's 90-something now. One of the greatest men in deliverance there is, and so I'm also they come to my meetings. They check me out. Do you see what I mean? It's very in order, very divine order. I have a church and I have a pastor that I submit to, and but God just uses me mightily because He wants to touch His people. He said they don't get ministered to enough. He said they got the word up to here, they got teaching up to here, they got preaching up to here, but they really need one-on-one ministry.
I guess that the old circuit rider type of ministries went by the board for the most part, because most of those grew into organizations that could afford their own ministers, and now we probably have more ministers than we do church, you know, ministries to have. But are these small groups, small churches that
I do? I've been to small churches, large churches. I do a tremendous amount of home groups, and I want the pastors out there to know that I'm not after a flock, and I am not a pastor. I am a minister. And I want the people that come to my meetings to make them better members. I do a lot of women's, like you said, conferences. I was on for anybody that knows about the organization Women's Aglow, it's all over the world. I won't go into detail about it. But I was on their board, state board, for 5 years in Alabama. And I was been involved in it for about 40 years.
Tell us a little bit more about Women's Aglow, because I'm not familiar with it either.
Okay, it's awesome, and I was president of Women's Aglow for Birmingham. Women's Aglow, they have a minister come every month. They have real strict rules of following the word, and they don't allow a speaker to come unless they, you know, they've had references, they've checked it out, they kind of know their fruit. But they come with a message, and when I started going every month, the first couple of years, it's like every message was for me. But I was a basket case. I don't know if any of you out there has ever been a basket case, but I was before the Lord started really doing things in me, and took a while. And I would go, and they just love on you. They have a board, and they have 8 or 9 ladies that's on the board, and they pray with you. They listen to you. They believe, like we believe, there's one God, one Jesus, the Son of God, born of a Virgin Mary, walked the earth, died, was crucified, buried, and rose again. But they believe in miracles. They believe in signs and wonders. And they do believe in speaking in other tongues as well as giving messages. But they just love on the people, and they have people that will counsel you. But I won't go into detail, but when my father was murdered, he was it was in politics. He was murdered in Washington. He was president for the United Coal Miners in Alabama and loved coal miners and poor people. Well, I had a nervous breakdown over it because I just couldn't handle it, and I wasn't that close to God. And I wouldn't have made it except for the prayers. These women pray, and they have intercessory groups, and they're just a close-knit, but they have lighthouses in every city, and they have a meeting once a month, and you just go. They don't push you to anything. They don't try to get you to join a certain church or anything. They pray with you. They love you. Oh, they just hold me and let me cry, and I've got so much healing, but I'm just a fruit of much prayer. And a lot of it from Women's Aglow. And then they have Bible studies. You can volunteer and have a Bible study in your home. It's just a wonderful, really godly, awesome organization to get taught, to get counseled, to get loved. They have patience with you. I guess that's about enough about it, but
well, Reba, we've got 3 callers online, they're showing up as wanting to ask a question. Let me check these out here and see what we've got. Hello, you're on the line at Laws of Material Wealth. Is there a question you have for Reba? Hello.
Hello.
Yes, do you have a question for Reba?
I do.
Well, what is your first name, please?
Autumn.
Autumn, go ahead and ask your question.
Okay. I was just going to ask Reba about just discouragement and just dealing with medical issues. I had started, you know, doing everything that I thought I should be doing. I started doing my prayers every morning, getting up extra early, my devotions. I would say certain prayers, certain statements. And then when I started doing that, that's when God started working in my life. And he opened doors for a new job. He opened doors for me to get my own place again. He moved me 1 mile from my job. Just everything was falling into place. And now I'm just having so many medical issues. And I just started this new job end of October. And the 4th day on the job, I had to have surgery. And then I had to have surgery again right before Christmas. And I'm still in a lot of pain, and it's going to be a process, and it's going to require another surgery. And but I have an autoimmune disorder that I was diagnosed with, I don't know, probably 2000, maybe 2009. And and I have, I know she was talking about, you know, she goes and takes the infusions. I have to have infusions as well. I mean, it's a different type of drug, but it's just really discouraging. So.
Autumn, Reba, do you want to give Autumn your number so you could talk more privately?
Yeah. Autumn, you feel free to call me at any time, any hour, and it's 901-651-2494. I want to tell you that, first of all, that God's very pleased with you for how you have been patient, kept the faith, trusted the Lord through all the suffering you're going through. I want you to know that God knows this suffering, and he's perfect, and he knows he's not causing it, but he knows why he's having to allow it. And the Lord said to tell you, it's out of Psalms 32, 8, he said to you, Dawn, the Lord says, I will continue guiding you along the best pathway for your life. I will advise you and watch over you. Do not be like a senseless horse or mule that needs a bit and a bridle to keep it under control. God said, you've been really good about trusting him and praying. Continue that. The devil wants to stop you. The Lord says to tell you that it takes the Holy Ghost and him time to work out his plans, okay? And that to know this scripture, that everything works for the good of those who love the Lord and are called. And I get by the Spirit, you're very called and you're very loved by the Lord. Another thing he said for you to start thanking him for is, I don't know the address of this scripture, but he said, Autumn, I will not relax my hold on you, or surely not, and I'm not going to allow you to be seized with alarm. God's going to give you a fresh new anointing and great grace for enduring what you're having to walk through. But it is coming to an end, and you're not going to be walking in it the whole full year of 2015. I can almost guarantee you of that. I don't have time to give you the hours and hours of teaching I'll give you when you call me, but some of it you already know and some of it you're already doing, and that is be consistent in thanking God for that you are healed. You were healed on the cross, and thank him for bringing forth the manifestations. You want to see the manifestations, no pain, no more surgery. That's manifestations. And that's what you're waiting for, and that's what you're going to see. For discouragement, the spirit of praise will lift heaviness. But if you will, in your own personality, in your own way, in your own words, and if you've got to thank him for the same thing over and over and over, just start thanking him when you get discouraged and depressed. Start saying, I thank you that I have my own place. I thank you that I have a job. I thank you I can still get to work. You know, I thank you I'm not in a wheelchair.
And I have been doing, and I have been saying a lot of those things. You know, every morning I get up.
Well, you keep
early.
It up, honey. The enemy's after you, but he cannot have you and he will not get you. But he's really fighting right now. I see a battle going on over you, your spirit, your soul, between the devil and the Lord, but the Lord's winning. You understand? I think it's about to come to an end, but you got to know one thing, and of all I've said, this is the most important. You can't hold on just yourself. It has to be done through Jesus. Through Jesus you will endure. Through Jesus you will get this job done. Through the Holy Spirit, you got to ask the Holy Spirit to help you every day, help you stay on your job, help you endure. Then you can do this. And when you call me, I'll give you time to write this stuff down. Don't worry about remembering it all now. every morning and every night for a season, say, Lord, I thank you for overriding any sadness in me, any sorrow, any grief, any disappointment, any depression, with the spirit of gladness and joy. That's what rules over me. Because the enemy is trying to rule over you with depression and thoughts and trial, you know, and he thinks he can beat you down. And he can beat you down, but he's not going to beat you down as long as you call on Jesus to help you and to intercede and to stop it. Don't ever stop doing that till it stops. And I'll teach you other stuff, how to apply the blood of Jesus between you and the devil and this pain and these attacks, and that they've got to stop. He can't cross the blood of Jesus and keep doing them to you.
They do have to stop.
Thank you very much.
And it's just a process, you know.
Thanks for calling,
Autumn. And you sure you have her number there?
Yes.
You write down her number?
Be sure you call me now, Precious. And thank you so much for calling.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you.
And we have another caller here. Let me check. See if we can get her this one live. No, that's not coming on.
Okay.
Let me try another here. Yes, you're on the line on the Laws of Material Wealth. Reba Manfrey is online. Did you have a question?
Yes. My name is William.
Mm-hmm. Thanks for calling, William.
Thank you. When you hear just our thoughts, you know, and sometimes God will drop thoughts in our head, and sometimes thoughts just come out of our own imagination or out of our heart. And some of it is important because it's directional, you know, could be to go see somebody that day or it could be something larger. How do we know if it's God or if it's just me coming, you know, because you could fill your life with, you know, going on every thought that you think. And half of them might be God at best. So how do you really know what's God and what's you?
That's a great question, and you just have to learn that. I've learned through trial and error the God's voice, the devil's voice, and my voice. One thing, if it's not lovely and of good rapport, the thoughts are not the Lord, even if he's correcting you. I'll give you an example. It's kind of, God can be humorous sometimes. I'm a big, big talker, and a lot of times I talk too much, and I'm praying to God to help me with that. But I was riding down the road, and there was an old 1950s song, "You Talk Too Much, You Worry Me to Death." And
yeah.
God started singing, "Reba, you talk too much, you're giving out my best. You talk too much, it's time to take a rest." Well, of course, you know that's God. But the enemy will try to usually, God don't, even when he corrects you, he does it with love, and he does it with kindness and compassion. He can be stern, but the enemy will always push you, rush you, and hurry you. God directs you, guides you, and leads you. I think God talks to all of us more than we know, and we don't even know it's him, through our thoughts.
Right.
And you said that. He can direct you. You just have to get trust. You have to go to God and do that scripture. I only hear the voice of the Lord. And how the Lord taught me to get so close to him and to really, really hear him constantly every day is I had to quit being afraid I was going to miss it, mess up, or fail. Like, oh, I didn't hear the right voice. And God said, in learning to hear from me, or just being with me, when you miss it, I will find you. When you fail, I will pick you up. And when you mess up, I will clean up. You just got to be active in it. You just got to walk in it.
Right.
One time, this sounds real odd. I was just riding down the road, and I passed this little church, and God said, go in there and give that church the word of the Lord. And so I went there, and I told the pastor, I said, I know you're going to think I'm crazy, but the Lord said, and he said, well, give it to the people. And then the Lord told me to join that church, and I said, no, this isn't you. It's the devil. God, you don't want me joining this church. I won't tell you why and everything. And God kept saying, Reba, join this church. And I kept saying, no, this isn't God. And God said, well, I tell you what, you go join it. If it's not me, in 1 week, you'll know. And I did know.
Wow.
I'll tell you another good thing. What I'm saying here is you just got to step out and do what you really think is God. If it's not God, he's going to teach you, protect you, pull
right.
you out of it. And if me being a prophet, I wanted to quit giving words of knowledge and wisdom because I thought, what if I miss it? What if I get in my flesh? And God said, that's pride, being afraid of missing it. You got to trust me. But what I tell the people is, I'm not Jesus. I can miss it. I'm human. Well, what do we have to do? We have to be forgiven and forgive each other. And God said, we don't give each other enough space to miss it, us Christians don't.
Right.
But let me give you, because I think God's talking to you that he's going to use you to talk to some people, and he's going to send you to some individuals. And let me give you this short example when I was learning to hear from the Lord. My father was murdered, and he was shot in the head in the temple. And I'm riding down the road in Birmingham, and the Lord said, take a right, go to the stop sign, take a left, go to the third house. And that's pretty specific, okay? And tell them they'll be cutting their grass, and tell them your daddy was murdered. And I thought, I am not doing that. That is the devil trying to make a fool of me. And most of the time, your mind will abort God. Do you understand? Your
right.
mind and your intellect will abort God. So what your mind and your intellect does, and the devil tries to do to you, is tell you it's not God, okay, because he don't want you taking that word. And I said, I'm not going down there. It's the devil, and you're trying to embarrass me. And again, God said, well, why don't you go and find out? So I drove up, and I told the people, I said, well, you're going to think I'm crazy, but the Lord wanted me to share with you that. And then God told me what they did is they walked Daddy out of the room of his Holiday Inn, walked him down the hall, and blew his brains out. And we had to see all that. Well, anyway, God told me, and I didn't know if my daddy was saved or not, and that's another testimony where God gave me peace one day. I walked in total peace for 3 days, like butter going through me, and he said the same peace I gave your daddy walking down that hall. He didn't feel a bullet go in his head, and he was never afraid. And so anyway, that's what he wanted me to tell these people. Well, come to find out, their son was in the war, I don't know which one, and he was shot in the temple and was killed like my daddy, and that brought them such comfort. And God said, tell them I did the same thing for him. I took his spirit from his body before he felt anything. You know, he's saved. I've got him in heaven. And what if I hadn't have went down there? You
right.
see what I mean?
Right.
Now,
don't be afraid.
What if I had went down there and it was the devil, okay? Here's what God told me, because this is going to help you. Because I asked God, I said, okay, thank you, God, for that assurance. But what if I'd have went down there and it wasn't the devil? He said, you would have got a thank you from me for trying because you believed. See, God will cover our mistakes.
Right, right.
And God will get us out of a mess, and God will pick us up when we fail. And you've got to start trusting what is him and not him. Some things you can figure out. But
yes.
I gave you that example because it was so far out, you know, out of whatever. He told me to go to Atlanta. He used to tell me when people were going to die, and he'd say, now go tell them. I never was able to do that because I was, but every one of them died. I mean, there's about 15 people in a 5-year period he told me to go to and tell them they were, and every one of them died. But I didn't go to any of them because I thought, what if this isn't God?
Right.
See, I regret that now.
Right.
But the way he put it to me, instead of being afraid of missing it, there's some pride in that. Go ahead. If you miss it, he's going to clean up. He's going to find you. You see what I mean?
Right, right.
And I do think I'm getting a word for you that you're hearing from God a lot more than you think. Just practice walking in it, and don't be afraid of missing it because he will find you. Don't be afraid of failing. He'll pick you up. And don't be afraid of messing up. He'll clean up, okay?
Okay. Thank you. Well, I sure appreciate it.
And I think there's a real calling on your life, so you just keep talking to God. And I ask God every day to talk to me, and then I tell him to give me clarity and purity of hearing him. And then it's not wrong. I don't ever put out a fleece, but I do ask God to give me signs that he has spoken to me. There's nothing wrong with that.
Right.
You know, like if he told you to go to Florida to go see somebody, say, well, I'll go, Lord, and I'll trust you, but could you give me some kind of confirmation? I like the word confirmation better.
Right,
or
right.
Or some kind of sign, and he'll do it. He will do it.
Right. Okay.
Thank you so much for calling.
Thank you very much. Mm-hmm. Enjoyed it.
And be sure that
you
have
her
number.
Do you want my phone number? I mean.
Yes.
Okay. Well, I would like to say, I'd like for everybody out there that's listening that if they want to call later or another day, I have plenty of time to minister over the phone right now in Memphis, and the number is area code 901-651-2494. If they want to invite me to do a service or talk to me or interview me or whatever, I welcome the call. And if they want to order a book, I'm not going to talk much about the book, but it's awesome. I've gotten over 5,000 letters how the book's changed their life. I would like to say something right quick before time gets away, that God has a plan out there for everybody listening. He has a sovereign plan just for you. You've got to get up and tell him you're available for his plan only, so he can start stopping the devil's plan over you and you get his plan. And he just has an assured plan. And with all that's coming down the pike and what we're hearing, the gloom and doom, he's got a plan to get us above it, around it, and beyond it. In my book is 10 benefits of God's favor. Everybody needs that. God give me, you know how you have benefits when you work on a job, you get a 401k? Well, there's supernatural increase, honor in the midst of adversity, increased assets, especially real estate, policies, rules, and regulations and laws change to your advantage by God. I lived on I had a farm, big farm in Alabama, and it's about a 5-mile dirt road to it. It was full of potholes. It was horrible. And I hated that dirt road. And I went to the city and I wrote letters, and we can't do it. There's policies. And when God gave me that benefit, I stopped on that road and I said, God, you got to receive what God's got. I said, I received this benefit, that these policies and rules in this city is going to be changed to pave this road. Well, God has given me a scripture, and I'm trying to think to give you the name of it, where he said, I'm trying to get the address of it, the scripture just left me. I got out and did that scripture. I'm going to try to look it up. And it's where he said he'll do more abundantly for you. And then there's another one. Lord, just bring that scripture to me, please. I got out and did that scripture over the road, and the next 3 days later, that road was paved. And so it's amazing what God will do when you trust him and pray his word back and declare, you know. You need to declare that you'll get the real and not a counterfeit.
The title of your book is God's Prevailing Truth is Life-Changing.
Changing, uh-huh. And I ask the $5 truth is life-changing. And I ask a $5 donation and a $1 for postage, and then...
And you do the fulfillment yourself. You'll send it to them.
I'll send it to them. Now, let me tell you how real God will work his plan in his life for you. I was driving to Iowa, and he told me to give the busboy the book. And the busboy said, I don't want your DAM book, and he threw it in the trash can. And I said, well, I have certainly missed God. Well, a week later, I got a $500 check because I've got a page in there that says you can order it. And she said, I found your book in the trash can in so-and-so restaurant in Iowa, and I want to order 100 books to give away. And God said, I had a plan. I knew that I wanted that woman to have that book, and I knew I would lead her to see it in the trash can because she wasn't in that restaurant when you were. Is that not amazing?
Mm-hmm.
How God can
amazing.
Prove he has a plan, you know? Just amazing.
Now, you didn't start out as a minister, I take it. You want to tell us a little bit how this came about 21 years ago?
Well, I was born to a 6-month baby, and I weighed 2 pounds, and I was dying, and my grandmother asked for my full life, and she was just a saint, you know, I mean, old-timey, love God, Pentecostal, prayer, and so I lived with her till I was 6, and from the time I was a couple of months old, she would take me to all these tent meetings, you know, all these famous people back in the olden days then. I was born in 1943, and she would take me, you know, to all these and sit me in the sawdust, and it all got in my system. And I'd always loved the Lord. I think I'd been saved since I was a child. I never missed church. I never was worldly or anything, but I didn't know anything about being a prophet. I worked for doctors, was married to a wonderful man, had a wonderful daughter, and but I never felt like I fit anywhere. And my friend was going down to do she did newspaper articles on ministers, and it was Bill Hammons down in Florida, and they was having a meeting, the Gathering of the Prophets, and I didn't have the $350 to go, but he said, come on in, your friend's doing the thing. Well, there was about 10,000 prophets there from all over the world, and I just felt so at home. But he called me out, and he said, you know you're a called, ordained prophet by God. And I said, I don't even know what a prophet is. And he said, well, I'm going to release you into it, but don't go home and try to be one. Go home and yield to the preparation. And I was under about 14 years of preparation, where I went to all these conferences, Joyce Myers, Kenneth Copeland, Kenneth Hagin, Charles Capps, and I was in Bible studies. I was under the Lord every day or every week, you know. I was in tapes or in a meeting, and he really taught me well, Women's Aglow, and he put great mentors in my life. But it is awesome how he launched me. Nobody would let me speak. I would beg pastors, and, well, you just don't go around asking anybody to let you speak. So I went to the Brownsville Revival. And I had a beautiful condo, and my husband and daughter didn't come. And I said, Lord, if there's somebody real poor here that loves you and you trust that could never stay in a condo like this, I'll let them stay with me for a week. And when I got to the meeting, the Lord, this is divine appointment, God working a plan. He said, go to the fifth row, the blonde on the end, and invite her. And so I went up to her, and I said, you're going to think I'm out in left field, but the Lord says you're to come stay while you're here in my condo. And she said, well, you're crazy. I drove 18 hours from Iowa, and I'm not going home to stay with no stranger. And I said, well, look, let me just tell you something. I really don't care whether you come stay with me or not. I didn't invite you. God did. The God you came down here to serve invited you. If you want to tell him no, you go ahead. Goodbye, honey. And she said, no, 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 I'll come. Well, I ministered to her for a week, so she called me up, and she said, I have you 60 speaking engagements in 30 days over the whole state of Iowa. Now, I'd never spoke. I didn't have a CD. Nobody. Well, God anointed me. It was incredible. I'd walk in a room and reach my hand out, and 50 people would fall out in the spirit. It was just incredible, the anointing. And he said, all I want you to do, don't take no notes. Just go and step out of the way and let me perform through you. Well, when I got to my first meeting, the pastor said, who are you? And I said, I'm your speaker. He said, no, you're not. We signed up for Reba McEntire. Well, she told all these pastors that she stayed with Reba, you know, the country western singer, Reba McEntire,
yeah.
And she'd come to Iowa for a love offering, and that's why they booked me with 60 appointments. I mean, 60 home groups, churches, aglow. It was a mixture. Well,
yeah.
They said, well, you're here, just go on. Well, I've been going back now for 21 years to many of the same churches and home grooms, and God said, when I'm ready to launch, you can't nobody stop it. But I blame God for the murder of my father, and I didn't serve him, and I was mad at him for 10 years because I sat in two churches for 40 years that didn't tell me I had authority in the name of Jesus. And it broke my heart, and I fell on my knees, and I said, Lord, whatever it takes, use me to get knowledge to your people who don't have it. And here's what God told me. He said, your daddy didn't have to be murdered. All you had to do was lay hands on him and said, in the name of Jesus, I cancel the spirit of murder, daddy. You will come home alive. I didn't know that. These two churches, and I won't name them because I don't like to bash churches or anything,
Reba, we're out of time. They're gonna close us down here in 9 seconds.
What the Lord said was get knowledge to my people.
Well, that's and
thank
you have
you
Reba's
so much.
Number that she's put out tonight, and I'm sure she'd welcome your call. Thank you, everyone.
Thank
you, Reba,
thank
for being with us.
And thank you, everyone, for being with us tonight on the Laws of Material Wealth Personal Development Program. Have a good evening.
Good night, everyone.